Thank you. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. If you've been keeping up with us by the bulletins whatever you call those road signs out on the road, anyway, I was scheduled to begin this series last week on smashing Satan's strongholds. But I got sick, wasn't here, so we're launching this thing today. So God willing, this week and the rest of this month on Sundays, the good Lord willing, we'll be dealing with Satan's strongholds in our lives and how we can live in victory over it. By the way, this book right here is written by Dr. R.B. Ouellette, and it's entitled The Pulling Down of Strongholds. I've looked at this. I trust this man with all my heart, mighty preacher, and we'd like to make this book available to you. But we want you to sign up for it. We're not going to charge you anything that it does not cost, you understand? But instead of just buying boxes of them, I'd like for you to sign up for it if you'd like to have it. This would be something good for your library to take home and keep it. Again, the pulling down of strongholds, this goes right along with what we're doing for the next 3 weeks. This sign-up sheet is on the bulletin board out in the lobby. If you'd like us to order you a copy of this, obviously the church will take care of all the shipping and handling, all of that. You sign up and we'll get you a copy of that. So please make special note of it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and beginning with verse number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, it's been said that a stronghold is something in your mind that you believe and you act on it, but it's not necessarily true. It's been called that a bad stronghold is a faulty thinking pattern based on lies and deception. Tom Farrell calls a stronghold a satanic citadel. He calls it a carnal city. He calls it a fleshly fortress. It's something that you do habitually, but also something that you view hopelessly. A stronghold is something that you keep finding yourself doing habitually, whether it be a thought process or something you can't get away from, but something also at the same time that you view hopelessly, that there's no answer for this. I'm just going to deal with this from now until I die. Now, with that being the case, we're launching this, and the devil has launched his attack on me, and I knew it would happen. He does not like being exposed. I don't like him too much either. And can I say something to you? I'm going to begin a message this morning that kind of summarizes this entire series. I'm going to finish it this evening. And I'm preaching to you this morning on this topic, the battle for the mind. The battle for the mind. Now I want to pray together with you, and we're going to get started with this, and we'll conclude this tonight with helping you to live in victory. Our Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for your goodness. Help us, I pray. Help those who may be living in a stronghold this morning to understand that they don't have to stay there. Give us victory, and I pray that you will reveal to these dear people what you have first shown to me. Through your word, may the will of God be done. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. If you were to ask me this morning what the greatest battle I fight is, I wouldn't have to think about it. My greatest battle is the battle for my mind. As a matter of fact, it's a battle I fight every single day of my life. Tom Farrell said this, we're not in a comfort zone, we're in a combat zone. And you know, it's high time that we understand that there is a battle raging. It's the battle for our minds. Now understand what I'm getting ready to say to you. The devil knows if he can get and win the battle in your mind, he will eventually win the battle in your body. Let me say it again. He knows if he can win the battle in your mind, he will eventually win the battle in your body. In other words, if you think it, you will become it, if you will. Now the message today is not, are you battling in your mind? Because if you're breathing, you are battling in your mind. My message today is, are you living in victory in your mind? Now with this being the case, may I say to you that more important than victory overseas is the victory in your mind. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said this. He said, behind every tragedy of human character lies a long process of wicked thinking. By the time this message is over, it will not be over until this evening. But by the time this message is over, you will see how you can live in victory in the battle for your mind. Now, I can honestly and truly say to you folks, now listen, I'm battling every day. But I can honestly look at you and say, I'm living in victory in my mind. I'm not perfect. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. And I'm not saying be like me. Don't misunderstand that. But I'm trying to share that with you to let you know that it is possible. You can live a victorious life in your mind. But you have to go about it God's way. Now today, this morning, now tonight, I want to give you an outline about how you can live in victory in your mind. Do you want to have victory in your mind? Yes or no? Do you really? Be back tonight. I'm going to show you how you can have it. Because I'm not going to get to it this morning. I wish I could, but there's too much information. I've got to get you back tonight if you want to hear how you can live in victory. If you cannot be here tonight, you have to work, something like that, whatever the case may be. If you have internet access, get on our website, BuffaloRidgeBaptistChurch.org. Go to the live streaming button and get on and listen to it. You cannot, I repeat, you cannot miss tonight's message. Now I'm pumping it. This is not Bible time, but I'm pumping it trying to get you here. You've got to be here to hear the message tonight. Because this morning what we're talking about is the battle for the mind. And the only thing we're going to get to is point number one. There's only 2 points, but that point is this. This battle has an enemy. Anytime you have a battle, a war, that means there's an enemy somewhere. And can I say this to you? That in the wars today, the enemy can come in different packages. I'm talking about physical wars such as car bombings and all these other kind of things. But folks, listen to me please. One of the things that is so important in a battle is that you know who the enemy is, what he wants, and how he's trying to get it. Would you agree with that? Now 1 Peter 5:8 identifies our enemy in this battle. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, in battles on this earth, there are all kinds of enemies, but every enemy, listen to me, folks. Every person has an enemy in the battle of his mind whose name is Satan. There are a couple of things I want you to consider about this enemy in the battle for the mind. By the way, I repeat it again, if he wins the battle in your mind, he will win the battle in your body. Now there's 2 things about this enemy, the devil, Satan, that I want to bring out. Number one, let's notice his want. What is it that he desires? There's 2 things he desires to do to you and to me. First of all, under this, he wants to shake you up. This is found in Luke chapter 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. You know what that word sift means? It means to shake violently. It means it was drawing you back to when they would take grain that was agitated or shaken in a kind of a fan. And the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 2:2 that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled as at the day of Christ is at hand. Understand this, the devil does not like somebody to be firmly grounded in Christianity. He does not like somebody who's living in victory. What he's trying to do and what he wants to do is he wants to shake you up this morning. He wants to rattle you. He wants to shake you loose. Secondly, he wants to swallow you down. This is found in 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You know what that word devour means? It means to gulp entirely. It means to swallow up. It means to drink down. Get this, folks. The devil's not trying to hurt you. He's not trying to take a bite out of you. He's trying to destroy your life. He hates you. He can't stand you. And the way that he tries to shake you up in order to swallow you down and make you disappear is he will attack your mind. He's going after it. Now, this being the case, I want to give you number two. And that is not only his want, but number two, his weapons. What is it that the devil uses to shake you up and to swallow you down? Now, folks, listen to me, please. What I'm getting ready to bring out to you, many in this room are probably dealing with it. Everybody in this room is probably dealing with something that I'm getting ready to bring out. So don't feel like you're all alone. These are weapons that the enemy uses to attack your mind. And by the way, when I bring out these weapons, if somebody, God forbid it, I don't think it would be the case on a Sunday morning, people coming to church. But there are some people who say, I'm just going to do my own thing. I'm not going to listen to that preacher. I don't care what he says, I'm going to do my own thing. Go ahead, and you'll never live in victory in your mind. I'm trying to help you this morning. I'm trying to encourage you and help you. I'm going to give you five weapons that he uses. Now, he uses more, but these are five major weapons he uses. Number one, he will use the eye gate. There's no doubt about it. What I mean by the eye gate is what you let in here. Now, folks, listen to me, please. Many times we preach messages like this to teenagers, and there's teenagers scattered abroad the building, and they do need to hear this. But adults also need to hear this same message. You are what you watch, and you are what you let in your eye gate. And your eye gate's being bombarded everywhere you turn. And let me say this, folks. It's no secret that the eyes and the ears are the two major body organs that's closest to your mind. So guess where he's going to start with you? He's going to try to use the eye gate. Now, let me blast some things here in a good way. But I wonder, what do you look at? You can apply this to the television. You can apply this to magazines. You can apply this to the internet. You can apply it to anything that you let your eyes rest upon. Do you understand that the average, listen to this, the largest television audience in America today, you know who they are? They're preschoolers. They watch an average of 30.4 hours of television every week. Let me tell you why. It becomes a babysitter. It also becomes a teacher. Now stay with me here. By the age of 17, the average American teenager has watched 15,000 hours of television. That's equivalent to 2 years doing 2 years night and day doing nothing but watching the TV. Do you realize that it's been reported that there's an average of one act or talk of sexual behavior every 4 minutes on the television? And 91% of those things are outside of the wedding relationship, the marriage relationship. I wonder this morning, what do you let come in your eye gate? Would you want Jesus to come while you're looking at that? I wonder what language you allow to come across the television before you turn it off. Is it just a certain number of words? And if it's a certain number of words, then you'll turn it off? Somebody says, this is old-fashioned preaching. You got it. And I want to be old-fashioned. Because I'm going to tell you something, there's a battle raging for your mind. And it's not all right to look at those things. It's not okay to let sin and filth come through your eyes. Because if it comes through your eyes, it'll get in your mind. And if it gets in your mind, it'll come out your hands. It'll tell on you. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. David Frost said this, television is an invention. By the way, I've got one. I'm not saying go home and blow it up. I've got one, but you have to monitor it. Television is an invention that permits you to be entertained in your living room by people you would not have in your home. Powerful statement. Would you be pleased if your child becomes what you watch on TV? Now, you think it's easy to preach this on a Sunday morning at an independent Baptist church? No. But I love you. Look up here, please. I love you. I want God's best for your life. And I'm telling you, there's a battle for your mind. Psalm 101:3, I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I wonder, how much time do you spend looking at other things that's not pleasing to God in comparison to the precious Word of God? Lily Henderson, she was age 11, said this. Age 11. She said, there's already an educational channel. It's called Off. The bottom line is this. Now, I'm skipping some of this for time's sake. But the bottom line is this. You will not win the battle in your mind if you are not winning the battle in your eyes. It's not going to happen. By the way, the test to what you look at is really found in the Word of God. Remember in the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, think on these things. Whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of a good report. The Bible says think on those things. How can you look at things that are not pure and think pure thoughts? That's a deep statement, isn't it? Number one, he'll use the eye gate. Number two, he'll use the ear gate. Now, when you think of the ear gate, what do you think of? You think of music, right? And I am going to talk about music here just a minute. But this also could mean what language you allow to be used, what you stand in the presence of at work. You're a Christian and you know better, and they're taking the Lord's name in vain, but you just sit there and take it. You cringe because you're afraid if you say something, you might lose a friend. Can I say something? You never had them. Amen. And they need the Lord. Now, I wonder, what are you letting your ear gate? What do you listen to? Now, I want to talk to you about your music just a minute. Again, this is a message that the devil tries, that's for teenagers. You're right, it is for teenagers, but it's for all of us. All of us have, listen to me please, all of us have flesh that if you let it, we'll get down and jive with things. Huh? No doubt about it. I'm talking about things that's not of God. Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Let me simply say this. You know what I used to do as a younger preacher? I'm still young, but as a younger preacher, especially as a teenager, I'd get up. Stacey, I'd get up and I would rip every kind of music if you're listening to that, and that's wicked. Get rid of it, you know. I don't do that anymore. Let me tell you why. You already know in your heart if your music's right or wrong. Nobody has to convince you. Nobody has to bring it up and say, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. No, you know in your heart that if Jesus Christ, if you could see Him with you, He's in you if you're saved, but if you could see Him in bodily, you already know if you'd still listen to the same music or not. You already know. And what I'm saying to you is this, if you do not listen to the right things, you will not be thinking the right thoughts. It's that simple. Now, Psalm 40 verse 3, He hath put a new song in my mouth. Psalm 96:1, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Psalm 98:1, 144:9, 149:1, sing unto the Lord a new song. Notice the word new. It comes from the word renew or fresh. Notice the word sing. Sing unto the Lord. The emphasis is on the words, not the music. And I want to ask you some questions about your music. Number one, is your music like Christ? Is Christ holy? Yes or no? Is your music? On top of that, are the ones who sing it holy? Or do they look like they've crawled out from under a rock somewhere? Amen. It's awful quiet in here. But you know I'm giving you the truth in your heart. Is the Lord separate from sin? Yes. Is your music? Does the Lord have a clear testimony? Yes or no? Sure he does. Does your music? This is something here. Is your music pleasing to Christ? You know, when asked, now obviously this has been years ago because of the answer, and you'll understand what I mean, but this principle still applies. When asked what could be done to make kids spiritual, a teenager said this. What can be done to make kids spiritual? And the teenager said, destroy their records. In a nutshell, he said, destroy their music. Your eyes and your ears are vitally important to the battle in your mind. Amen. Now, you ever heard the word Lot, the name Lot, who moved to Sodom? He pitched his tent towards Sodom and he moved to Sodom and all these kind of things. We could bring people up and say, what was Lot's problem? Well, it was this, it was that, it was that, it was that, it was that. You know, the Word of God tells us what his problem was. Listen to this verse. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Listen to this. And deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man, he's a Christian, Lot, a righteous man, dwelling among them, get this, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day. You know what got Lot in trouble? His eyes and his ears got him in trouble. And I'm telling you, that is two major weapons the devil uses in your mind. But then there's a third weapon. This is where I start hitting a larger audience, if you will. Not everybody's dealing with their eye gate. Not everybody's dealing with their ear gate, but I guarantee you're dealing with one of these next three. He'll also use number three. He'll use your past. You know what I call this? Whether it's something that you did in your past that you can't get over, or whether it's something somebody did to you or something that's happened in the past that you can't get over. You know what I call these things? I call it holding a guilt and holding a grudge. He's a master, the enemy, at getting you to live in the past. Can I say this to you? I want to deal with this first. Let's talk about past guilt, past sin. Things that you've done in your past that thank God you've been forgiven. Now, by the way, if you're not a Christian, the Lord can be using that past to convict you, to draw you to Jesus Christ. You understand what I'm saying? If you're not saved, you need to have your sins forgiven. And He'll forgive you today if you'll invite Him into your heart. But you who are saved, the devil will try to get you to focus on something that you've done in your past, and he'll try to get you to where you don't forgive it and forget it and all these kind of things, and you're constantly dwelling on it. You can't get over it. What in the world? By the way, if you're saved, the Lord will never bring up your past. Sin. It's covered. It's washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Which means that if you have things in your past you wish to God you could go back and change, if it comes back up again, that's not the Lord, that's the enemy in the battle for your mind. And he's using it to try to get you to dwell in the past because he wants to keep you quiet for the future, doing anything for Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, if there's something you've done in your past, but you've been forgiven, Jesus Christ has come into your heart, you are a born-again child of God. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just, forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isaiah 38:17, behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sin behind thy back. The Bible says in Psalm 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. You know the great thing about that verse is no matter where you are, there's always an east and west. Makes no difference whether you're in America, if you go to India, if you go to Africa, wherever you're standing, the east and the west never meet. Which tells you, you'll never meet your sin again if you're saved. Amen. That's exciting right there. If you've been forgiven, God will never bring it up again. Which means if it comes up, somebody else is doing that. Let's move to the second thing here about the past. That is something that's happened to you or something somebody else did to you. I call that holding a grudge. holding a grudge, whether it be against another human being or whether it be against God. In a crowd this size, no doubt there's somebody that's come in here today that said, why is this happening to me? Why is God allowing this to happen? Why is God? I thought God loved me. You know what that is? That's holding a grudge against God. And that's not going to get you anywhere. I want to talk to you about this. Leviticus 19:18. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. But thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. The Bible says in James 5:9, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Let me ask you a question. Is there somebody in this life that you will not forgive? Is there somebody in this life that you say, Jody, you don't understand what they've done to me? And you're right, I don't understand that. But I understand this. I know what we all have done to Christ. We crucified Him. And yet when you came to Him, He forgave you, didn't He? Do you understand what this is? By the way, I'm going to be preaching on this, God willing, next week maybe, on the stronghold of bitterness. There are bitter people everywhere. God willing, next week I'm going to deal with that. And worry. Next week, God willing now. Worry and bitterness are the two strongholds for next week, unless the Lord changes my mind. If there's somebody in this life that you say, I don't care what that preacher says, I don't care what the Bible says, I don't care, they've done me wrong, I'm not going to forgive them, and you are losing the battle in your mind. And you will not do anything for God. Nothing. He'll use your past. Guess where He's going next? Your present. If He can't get you to live in the past, you know what He'll try to do? He'll try to get you to come to the present tense. What's happening now? I was dealing with somebody this week who going through a trial, and God bless them. The Lord's helping them. The Lord's been real to them. They looked me in the face and said, you know, when I pray, I find myself, because of this current situation, it's a health need and concern in the family. I find myself when I pray asking, questioning God, saying, God, why are you letting this happen? Why are you doing this? This is a person who, in my opinion, loves the Lord. God's dealing with them. God's helping them. But the enemy's attacking the present. Look what's happening. I thought God said He loved you. Look at that loved one that's suffering. God wouldn't. Why, He's just holding back things. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. He'll try to take something that's happening now and try to get you to focus on it. Say, look at that. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:5, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy paths. I shared this in men's prayer meeting. I shared it with my Sunday school class this morning. And I'm going to share it with you. Let's take this series right here, this Building Families of Faith series that I preached last year. And let's say that this is currently something that's going on in your life, presently, right now. By the way, that could be something that's from the past that's happening now in the present too, you see. What the devil's going to try to do in your mind is he's going to try to get you to look at it. Look at that. Now, if I look at that, I can tell you what color it is. I can tell you every detail about it. I see that and that and it's red. That word's in cursive. These words are in cursive. It's got my name on it. There's a dash there. There's little decorations. There's a family in the background. I can tell you everything about it because I'm focused on it. Here's the secret. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm so excited about tonight. I'm so excited about it. I hope you'll be here to hear it. Let me get ahead of myself just a little taste. The secret, the enemy tries to get you to look at that. Look at it. terrible, awful. I'm not talking about the messages now. I'm talking about, you know. I hope not. Everybody follow me, right? Maybe I should take a picture of myself. You know what I mean? Terrible. All that. Anyway, the secret is by faith, lifting your eyes. Now listen, you can try this. This is something you can try at home, okay? You look at it, you can see everything about it. But as soon as you look up, you can't see it anymore. The higher you go, the more out of focus it becomes. And when I'm looking there, it's still there. It may still be hurting. It may still be knocking the daylights out of me. But my eyes are on God. It works. I'm going to show you how to work that. I'm going to show you how to do that tonight. Can you tell I want you here this evening? I'm going to show you how to do it tonight. But this morning I'm just exposing to you this is how he works. What's he doing? He's trying to shake you. He's trying to swallow you. And he uses your eye gates, your ear gates, your past, your present. It might be a health situation, a financial struggle. I don't know what it is. Some kind of problems. But then, he'll not only use your past and present. Guess where he's going to next? It's not a trick question. He's going to the future, folks. I call it the what-if syndrome. Oh, what are we going to do if that happens? Oh, what if that? Oh, what if? I call it the what-if syndrome. Worry. Now, God willing, next Sunday morning, the good Lord willing now, I'm going to be dealing exclusively about worry itself. But let me just mention this to you. If the devil cannot get you to live in the past, or even if he can, or if he can or cannot get you to live in the present, he will try to turn your eyes forward and say, what if that happens? What are you going to do if that takes place? What are you going to do if the economy goes out? What are you going to do if the gas goes up to $5? Had somebody ask me yesterday, not in this church, but had somebody ask me yesterday, said, how in the world are you running those buses with gas so high? I was like, I don't know. Don't get me tickled, folks. I got myself tickled there a little bit. I didn't say that, but... And I understand what they mean. I mean, I understand that question. You understand that question too, don't you? I mean, gas is expensive. But you know, the Lord has helped me, honestly. I wish I could say this about everything. I mean, he's helped me about everything, but I'm saying in my, you know, that's one thing I don't worry about. I know God's in it. And God's going to provide for it. Amen or not. I wonder, do we have anybody that lives in tomorrow? Got any worry warts among us? By the way, Patch the Pirate songs. I love those things. We'll be driving up the interstate and put in Patch the Pirate. That one about old, it's Jungle somebody. Every time they call for help. It's a banana man, all this kind of stuff, you know. Hilarious. But on that one, there's a worry wart. Hog, a worry wart hog is what he is. Have y'all have heard this one? Would you raise your hand? Yes. Have y'all say, Jody, this is ridiculous. Would you raise your hand? Sure. Don't raise your hand. He worries about everything. Oh, I'm worried. And all of a sudden, boop, a worry wart pops out on him. Aren't you glad we don't have worry warts? Let me ask you this question. If there were worry warts, would you come to church? Kind of a little funny, I know that. But don't miss what I'm asking. You know what worry is? By the way, we're all guilty of it. I raise both hands. But when push comes to shove, you know what worry is? Lack of faith in God. There's victory over that stronghold. You know how to get it? Come back next Sunday morning. And tonight, and I'll put something in your gun tonight about it. What am I saying this morning? Can I come down here among you just a minute? I'm doing good. We're about done. This is one of those series that yes, you rear back and preach and all this kind of stuff, and so, but this is one of those series that in my heart, as your pastor, I have such a burden to help you with this. It is God's will for you to live in victory in your mind. That's the will of God. Do you agree with that statement? Then everywhere He has a will, He has a way. And this morning, I'm simply trying to help you with this. You are not alone. You're not alone. We may not be dealing with the same things, but we're dealing with the same enemy. May not be dealing with the same circumstances, but we're dealing with the same tools, the same weapons. He uses my past. There's things I wish to God I could go back and change. Getting married to Becky is not one of them. Amen. That's one of hers that, you know, the devil uses in her past. What am I saying this morning? I'm saying this. I hope you know my heart by now, and my heart is this. I'm not, listen, please don't misunderstand me. Folks, listen to me, please. God has put a love in my heart for you that's not, it's not flesh. It's a spiritual love for you. Whether you're visiting or whether you're a member, it makes no difference. I am sick of the devil winning the battle in our minds. And I'm telling you, you can have victory. By the way, let me make this statement. Where you are in 1 year from now, 6 months from now, 6 weeks from now, 6 hours from now, 6 minutes and even 6 seconds depends on what you do with the enemy. Mind. He wants to destroy you. He wants to wreck your life. And the major way he does it is right there. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Right there. Now, that's the enemy. Tonight, I want to give you the strategy. How are you going to live in victory? Are there those? Nobody close your Bible, please. Get out of that habit. It's distracting, you know. Look at me, please. There are people who are trying to live right. Now, listen to me. When you come tonight, if you're looking at things you ought not to look at and you say, I'm not changing, there's no help for you tonight. Forget it. But there's a guaranteed fact, listen to me please, if you have something in your heart that you want to do right, you're not perfect, you trip and fall, sure, but you're trying to live right, you're trying to do right. I'm talking about you're trying to look at the right things, you're trying to listen to the right things. Yes, you're dealing with your past, but you don't want to, and you're dealing with the present, but you don't. You want victory, and yes, you are a worrywart, but you want victory in that. Even when your heart is right, there's still a battle raging. Amen or not, folks. It's raging. You ever had a thought come across your mind and you're like, where did that come from? You know, I know where it came from. It came from the devil's where it came from. And I'm telling you, the old saying, you cannot stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from building a nest in your hair. And tonight, the birds will be flying over your head. These evil thoughts will be bombarding you. Yes, they'll keep bombarding you. Hey, sad, bad news. This is a battle that you're going to face until you see Jesus, folks. And I'm telling you, they're going to be flying around. There they are, there they are, there they are. And tonight, I'm going to tell you how, when that thought hits you, there it is. I'm going to show you how you can get it out. You excited about that? You want that tonight? Prove it. See you this evening, 6:30, sharp. And if you can't be here, watch it on the internet. Amen. What a tool that is. God is going to give victory to your mind if you'll work His plan. I would have you raise your hand. You're going to be back tonight, but I don't feel right doing that. Aren't you glad, right? But I want you here this evening. Please, please, I'm begging you. The battle for your mind. Let's all bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Our Father, we love you. Lord, we've only got started with this, and this morning I just felt impressed that you wanted me just to expose the enemy in this battle, to expose him, to show what he's after, show how he gets what he wants. And I pray, Lord, that you help us to trust you. God, help us to believe you. Give us victory. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. A couple of questions today and we'll be done. If there's somebody here this morning, let me make this statement. If there's somebody here this morning that says, Jody, I'm battling in my mind, but I'm not a Christian. Let me say this to you lovingly. It is impossible to live in victory in your mind and not be a child of God. You cannot live in victory in your mind unless you're first in God's family. Do you know the Lord? Have you been saved? Are you a Christian? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? I mean, do you know without a doubt that if you died today, that you would go to heaven? You know, we're a Baptist church, but and I say that unapologetically, but let me say this to you. I am not a Baptist first. I'm a Christian. A Baptist church is not going to get you to heaven. Only the blood of Jesus Christ. Is there somebody today say, Joe, now listen, we're not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. I wouldn't do that for the world. But is there somebody today say, Jody, I need to be sure I'm saved. Maybe you know you're lost and you need Jesus. Or maybe you're just doubting it and you say, Jody, would you pray for me? I need to be saved. I want to know the Lord. I want to go to heaven when I die. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I really do. And you say, Jody, pray for me. I need to be saved. Is there somebody like that? Would you raise your hand? Anybody at all? Put your hand up, put it right back down. Anybody at all? Not going to call your name. I'm not going to embarrass you. I promise you I will not do that. Anybody at all? Let me ask you this question. You say, Jody, I'm a Christian. And I'm battling in my mind. Every Christian can say that. And here's my question. Who's winning? Who's winning? Have you be honest? Now, folks, this doesn't mean you're looking at things you shouldn't look at or listen to things. This could simply mean that you're living in something that's happened in the past. It could mean something that's going on now that nobody else knows about. Or it could be that you're simply, yes, you are a what-if syndrome person. You're a worrier and you know that. Have you say, Jody, I'm battling. And if I be honest with the Lord, I'd have to be honest and say, I'm not winning. I believe the enemy is winning in this battle. Be an honest person. Be honest. That's all I'm asking you to be. Be honest. You say, I believe the enemy is winning in this battle in my mind. But I don't want that. But if I be honest, I believe he's winning. Be honest. Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. All over this auditorium, be honest. Be an honest person. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. That's several hands. May the Lord help you. I hope you'll be back tonight to hear how you can live in victory. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, take it, use it, break it in a mighty way. May the will of God be done. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As Brother Gary sings, if God has spoken to you, would you leave your place? Would you come? Why don't you come and say, God, I'm losing in this battle. But I want you to show me what to do, and I want to have victory. As Brother Gary sings, you come. Maybe you're not a member of this church, but you love this church. You feel like God wants you to be here, and you come. You need to be saved, whatever. Follow the Lord in baptism, whatever. You do business with God. As Brother Gary sings, come on. Come on now. Here we go.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
Sing one more verse, Brother Gary.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow.
You can look this way, please. We're dealing with some folks. Let me deal with you tenderly here. Remind you about the book if you'd like to get it. I think it'd be a great help to you. You sign up for it. The reason I'm starting with this message for this series, now the good Lord willing, again, we're going to be dealing with specific strongholds starting next week, worry, bitterness, things like that. But you understand that a stronghold starts somewhere else. And a majority of time, it's here. Not all the time, but most of the time, it's here. You see what I'm saying? So if we can teach you how to live in victory here, then when you hear about worry next week, you already have the tools that you're going to learn tonight about how to take that specific stronghold in your mind and combat against it. You follow me what I'm saying? That's why I start here, gradually build. We'll take it as far as the Lord wants us to take it. I'm planning just March, but if He wants us to continue it, we'll continue it, whatever. No doubt about that. Remind you about the Bus Family Outreach meeting tonight at 5:30 in the Berean Classroom. Pray about the John Sevier Chapel service this afternoon at 4:30, I believe it is. Pray for the service tonight. I hope you'll be here. If you cannot be here, I hope you can get to an internet somewhere. BuffaloRidgeBaptist.org. Go to the live streaming. Okay? Good. If you're a visitor and you filled out one of those cards, I hope you did. If you'll take it out to the Welcome Center, we've got a special gift for you just for saying thank you for being here. God bless you. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Bob Edwards, sir, if you wouldn't mind to lift your voice and pray for us this morning, please.